Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Nun Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The shiur will begin at the very bottom of Nun Hei Omid Beis at the Mishnah. The topic that we will be opening up with concerns the blasphemer. Hamegadef eino chayov ad shiyforesh Hashem. One who is involved in this atrocious act or speech of blaspheming, he is not considered guilty until he utters the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. Rashi points out at the bottom, ad shiyforesh es Hashem she yizkor es Hashem, that he mentions God's name. Avol im loy hoitzi shem mipiv. If he didn't utter the name, Eloshoma Shem Yotzi Mipi Achir, he simply heard someone else mention God's name, Ubercho, and cursed, Potter, he will be exempt. Omar Yishua ben Korcha, B'chol Yoim Donim Esho Edim Bekinui, Yake Yoisi Es Yosi. As the court procedure takes place in judging a person guilty as blaspheming, and we have to cross-examine the witnesses and ask them, what did the defendant say? So they will not say the actual words that the defendant used. We don't want to have a situation where the terrible remarks and the utterance of God's name in that context be repeated time and time again. So they do it with a change. The term kinui would mean an alteration of what he actually said, but the intent being very clear that they're referring to what they heard. And the kinui that the Mishnah suggests is, the witnesses will say that we heard him say, Yake Yosi Es Yosi. Let Yosi is, it's four letters, and it's pointed out that the four letters of Yosi have a numerical value like the name of Hashem that we refer to by Elohim, the value of 86. And they would repeat this in their cross-examination. However, Nigmar Hadin, at the point that the verdict is reached, Lo Horgin Bikinui, the court will not be able to execute with the mere hearing of this approximation phrase, but they have to hear the actual name. Elo Motzian Kol Adam Lechutz. At the point that the verdict is about to be announced, the judges have everyone leave the court and leave the Edom there. Sholem es hagodol shebeinahem. They ask the eldest of the witnesses, the Omer Lo, and the judge says, Emor ma sheshomata beferush. We want you now to say what you heard. Vu Omer, and he says, and in this instance he will say the blaspheming comment with God's name in it. And to hear this is, of course, a chilling experience. V'hadayonim oimdim al ragleim, the judges arise, v'korin v'lo ma'achin, and they rend their garments, they tear their garments, and it's a type of tear that is not to be re-sewn. That's lo ma'achin. V'hasheni omer, the second witness says, af ani kamohu, I heard that too. V'hashlishi omer, af ani kamohu. Tana, the Tanaic source that the Gemara introduces, elaborates on the halacha of the Mishnah and says that there is no guilt ad shiyavorech shame b'shem. The idea that's captured in this particular brisa is parallel to the example that the Mishnah used, Yake Yoisi Es Yosi. The Rashi here says, Shame B'Shem, Kegoin Yake Ploini Es Ploini, or Yekalel Shame Ploini Es Shame Ploini, where the guilty party said that he wants using the shame Hashem, that he should curse himself, so to speak. Mino hanimili. From where do we know that it's necessary to say shame b'shame, and not simply a simple reference to God's name in a curse form, but specifically this method of yake, let him hit himself? Omar Shmuel, the Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, V'noikev shame, and V'chule b'nikvo shame yumos. The entire Pasuk is written in the margin, and you can see, V'yikro chof dalid, Pasuk tes zayin, V'noikev shame Hashem mois yumos, Ragoim yirgumu boi kol ha'ido, there is a penalty of stoning, Kiger ko'ezroch v'nakvoi shame yumos. So you see a double reference, the beginning of the pasuk, it says v'nokev shame Hashem, and then at the end of the pasuk it says b'nikvoi shame yumos. With this we understand that the curse has to be in this very specific fashion in order to be guilty and guilty of a stoning penalty. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a note on the outside margin, the nosei, the topic heading, and the mivneh, the structural note. The topic is Birkas Hashem, and throughout the Chazal you find a euphemism used when dealing with this topic. Birkas literally means blessing God's name, but the intent is the opposite. We will notice in the next several lines the use of several different geometric forms. We have a diamond, and that's explained. Shnei Mekoros, two sources that will appear in this sukya, and we actually have them numbered as well in the left-hand space. To the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, you'll notice a diamond number 1, and scanning down, you'll notice a number 2. These are two makoros, two sources, denoikev, that word, denoikev, equals klola, means cursing. We will also see the use of triangles with colored-in tips surrounding the words either v'ema or v'dilma. These introduce three hatsa'ot, three suggestions, chilufiot, alternatives, three alternative suggestions to what the word nokev might mean, and you'll notice a bow tie around the suggestion word. So if you just scan down the sukya, you'll see the bow ties, you'll see the word mivraz, maybe the word nokev means penetrate or pierce, and a second attempt, you'll see Perushi Shmei, where maybe the offense is articulating the name of Hashem and explaining its meaning. And the third approach is that maybe the offense of the Pasuk that said V'nokev Shem Hashem, namely the Pasuk in Vayikra Chavdalet, Pasuk Tezayin, is a reference to both one who utters the Shem Hashem and curses, and only then would one be guilty of both. We will also see in the course of the Gemara a volcano form. Those are nisyonos lechazek es ha'atzah. They will be attempts to strengthen these suggestions. So as we go through the Gemara, we will see, as we just said, several alternative suggestions, and of course why in the final analysis the each one is not accepted. Let us continue now in the Gemara. Mimai dahai nokev lishno debruchi hu. From where do you know that this word nokev that's featured in the pasuk is a reference to cursing? Answer: Dichtiv. This is a pasuk in the context of Bilam. Bilam, who was hired by the king of Moab, Balak, to curse Klal Yisrael, Bilam says that, what can I say if I don't have God's approval? Ma ekoiv lo kabo keil. How can I curse if God doesn't? So we see the word ekov, which is has the same root as the word vinokev, referring to cursing. The azharose mehocha, and the lav in the Torah, as we've said on previous occasions, that in order to carry out a court execution, there you have to account for two references in the Torah, one called Azhara and the other one called Onesh. So the Onesh Pasuk we cited in Vayikra Chavdalet Pasuk Dezayin, which says that there is stoning. But where is the Azhara Pasuk, namely a Pasuk where you'll find a Lav, a negative commandment? So here we have a Pasuk. It says Elohim Loi Sikaleel. So the word Lo, the negative, do not curse. As we said before, the Gemara now raises suggestions. Rashi points out that from the expression mimai, the high nokev, from where do you know that nokev means cursing, and we cited a pasuk, in effect this is all the beginning of a long question. The question being, how do you know that nokev means cursing, and you claim to be relying on the pasuk of Bilam? Maybe the Amal, here the Gemara raises the alternative, maybe mivrazu, maybe it means piercing the written form of God's name. In other words, if God's name is written on a piece of parchment, and one takes an implement and pierces it, that's what is referred to here. Dichtiv Vayikov Chor Bedalsoi. We see the word Vayikov with the same shorish as Vinokev, meaning making a hole. Ve'azharase mehocha. And the commandment that would be the Azhora, the negative commandment, is as follows. The Ibadetem Eshmom, referring to idols, it says, thou shalt destroy their names. Lo sa'asun kem l'Hashem Elokechem, and do not do that to God's name. So, at this point, the question is, how do we know that the Pasuk that was featured in Vayikra Chavdalet, Pasuk Tes Zayin, is a reference to cursing and not a reference to the piercing of his name? The Gemara answers, Bo'ino shem b'shem v'lecha. As we noted originally, the Pasuk said, V'nokev shem Hashem, and then it repeated at the end of the Pasuk, B'nikvo shem, which we understood to mean that there must be a blaspheming whereby the name is used upon the name. So, in the case of piercing, taking an implement and piercing a name, you don't have this element of name on the name. The Gemara asks, well, I'm going to try to resuscitate this last suggestion and say the Ema, and this is what we featured in our marking system. These volcano shapes are attempts to resuscitate the suggestion. The Ema, the Monach, Shnei Shemoi Sahadodi, maybe you take two written forms of God's name that are on two pieces of parchment, and you put one on top of the other, ubozalahu, and pierce them while one is on top of the other, thereby fulfilling the shame b'shame aspect. The Gemara says, no, that would not be a fulfillment, because hahu noikev v'chuzer v'noikev hu. That's really not two separate piercings. After the first layer is pierced, that's then done. And then there's, as the implement goes down further, that's a second piercing. But that's not a piercing. That's not shame b'shame, using the name of God upon the name of God. So the Gemara suggests, v'ema d'chayik shame apuma d'sakina u'boza ba. Maybe he takes a knife, and the of the knife he etches a Shem Hashem. He etches out God's name on the side of a knife, and then pierces the parchment that has God's name written on it. So you have this aspect of using God's name to pierce God's name. So the Gemara rejects this as well. Hahu churfei de sakina hu de ko boza. It's the tip or the edge of the knife that is doing the cutting, and the name of God was not etched on the tip or on the on the edge, but rather on the side of the knife. So you don't have the actual name of God cutting the written name. Amal, we note once again another suggestion is raised, an alternative is raised, meaning that maybe the nokev shame of the original pasuk is not cursing, but rather perushe shmei hu. It's a function of uttering God's name with its letters and its commentary. Dichtiv, the use of the word venokev as a reference to uttering and spelling things out is found in another pasuk. Dichtiv, vayikach Moshe Aaron es ha'anoshim o'ele asher nikvu b'shemos. And the pasuk says that Moshe Aaron gathered together the men whose names were specified. Nikvu b'shemos. We've dashed, underlined nikvu because this is the main word to bolster the suggestion. The Azorose Mehocha, and the Azhora Pasuk, the second Pasuk, the negative commandment, would be from this, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Thou shalt fear God. And the feeling here is that by uttering God's name, one is not showing the proper awe and fear that one ought to have. The Gemara rejects this suggestion. Chada deboino shem b'shem v'lecha, by claiming that the violation featured in the original pasuk of Venokev Shem would mean uttering God's name, you don't have the fulfillment of Shem B'Shem, using God's name on His name. The Oid, Havyole, and furthermore, the Azhara pasuk is not sufficient, because this pasuk is stated in the positive. It's, you shall fear God. Azhoras Asei. The Azhara here is appearing in a positive form, the Azoras Asei Lo Shmo Azhora. And when you have such a construction, a positive Azhora, that does not constitute the Azhora that's necessary in order for the court to be able to carry out its execution. The Iboy Esema, notice we have a semicolon indicating that there's a break in the actual flow, because this Iboy Esema means an alternative suggestion, not to what was just said, but rather an alternative source for the original explanation, namely that the pasuk in Vayikra Chof Daled means cursing. And here is, as opposed to the original explanation was from Bilam, who said Ma Ekoiv Lo Kaboke, where we had our first diamond at number one. How do we know the no cave would mean cursing? So here's a second suggestion, Vayikoiv Vayikaleil. This is Vayikra Chof Daled Posuk Yud Aleph. The posuk is found in the margin, Vayikoiv Ben Ha'isha Ha'Israelis Es Hashem Vayikaleil. The woman featured in the posuk was, she opened up by saying Vayikov, and we know that the word Vayikalel means cursing. So we see from the context that she was involved with cursing. Vayaviu Oisoi El Moshe. The minor correction here, it was the son of the Isha Israelis that was cursing. This man, who's called Ben Ho'isha Israelis, cursed, that he brought him to Moshe. V'shem Imo, his mother's name was Shlomis Bazdivri Lemate Don, from the tribe of Don. So in that pasuk we see Vayikoiv, Vayikaleh Lememra. This shows us Dinekuva, the no cave klola hu, means that no cave means cursing. Once again, we have an alternative suggestion, Vidilma Ad de Ovad Travayu. Maybe the pasuk that describes this individual, this Ben Isha Yisraelis, he actually did two things. What are the two things? He articulated God's name and also cursed. The suggestion being that through one act itself, or one utterance itself, he would not be guilty. The Gemara answers, Lo sakodaitach, don't think thusly that guilt is achieved only upon committing both. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Hotzei es hamekaleil. V'lo ksiv hotzei es hanokev v'hamekaleil. Shma mino chadahi. The pasuk does not say, take out the person that was no cave and mekalel. It simply says take out for execution the person that was mekalel, that cursed. So that we see that after all said and done, guilt is achieved by doing the act of mekalel. And hence we understand in this pasuk, vayikov is another expression referring specifically to mekalel, to cursing, and not something additional. As we continue in the Gemara, we'll take note of our topic heading, Goy Bebirkas Hashem. We're going to deal with a Gentile in the context of cursing, cursing God's name. We'll discuss Shem Mamash, the actual name of Hashem, and Kinuyim, secondary names of Hashem. Tanu Rabbanan, the source opens up. It's a Tanaic source, as you can see. It has a frame around it, and we're sure that you are familiar with the Gemara marking system by the introductory information. So you know that framed sections are Tanaic sources. This opens up with the analysis of a pasuk. The pasuk itself opens up with a double expression, and it says, Ish, Ish, Ki Yikaleo Elokov v'noso chetoi. Ish ma tama lomar. Ish ma tama lomar ish ish. If the pasuk would have said in the singular ish, why is it necessary for it to use the double expression? Answer: L'rabois esoide kechavim shemuzhoren al birkas Hashem ki Yisrael. The double expression serves to tell us that all peoples, not just Jews, are commanded on avoiding or refraining from cursing Hashem. V'eino neherogin elo b'sayif. Gentiles, if they commit this offense, are executed through the sword, not stoning. Shekomisa mura b'vnei noyach, all deaths that are attributed to Gentiles, eino elo b'sayif, is only through the sword. As opposed to Jews who are guilty of a capital offense, there are four different types of execution possibilities. When it comes to the B'nai Noach, the Noahides, only the Sayef is the means of execution. The Gemara asks, V'ho mehocha nafko, mehosom nafko, Hashem zu birkas Hashem. The idea that Gentiles are also included in this prohibition of Birkas Hashem, is it Mehocha Nafka learned from here, the pasuk that was featured in the Tanaic source? Rather, is it not learned from another pasuk? The pasuk is in Bereshis, Perek Beis Pasuk Tezayin, and it's found quoted in a fuller fashion on Omid Beis, where the arrow appears. You notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, an arrow indicating Omid Beis, and if you scroll ahead to Nun Vav Omid Beis, you will notice the pasuk, and it has been highlighted for special reasons in a dashed frame. The arrow is pointing to the point at which the Gemara in Omid Beis says this point, that the word Hashem, as appears in that pasuk, we should read the pasuk. We've recorded it on the side of the in the margin of our Gemara here on Amud Aleph, where it says, "Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam lemor mikol eitz hagan achol tocheil." In that pasuk, you see it says, "Vayitzav Hashem," and from there the Gemara will derive on Amud Beis that this is a reference to Zu Birkas Hashem. This is a reference to the prohibition of cursing Hashem. So if that be the case, what am I going to do with the source that featured a different pasuk? Omar Rav Yitzchok Nafcha, we've underlined his name and called him number one because the Gemara will present another opinion that disagrees, that has a different approach to this particular topic. Rabbi Meisha, you'll notice a few lines later, underlined with a number two. So Omar of Yitzhak Nafcha, Loi Nitzrecha, Elo, L'Rabois HaKinuyim, Ve'Aliba de Rabbi Meir. The double expression when we say we're going to include Gentiles with this pasuk, this is for the purpose of including Gentiles with regard to the secondary names as well, and according to the Tana Rebbe Meir. Let us emphasize that we will see Rebbe Meir featured in the upcoming Tanaic source with a frame. And we've also emphasized through that which we've written in between the lines that it sounds, according to Rabbi Yitzhak Nafcha, that only according to Rabbi Meir will we say that the B'nai Noach are chayav, are guilty on the secondary names, on the kinuyim, only Rabbi Meir, but the Rabbanan will disagree, and they will hold that a Ben Noach is exempt if he curses using secondary names, the kinuyim. So according to Rabbi Yitzhak Nafcha, it will be exclusively Rabbi Meir who holds that the B'nai Noach are also guilty on cursing with secondary names of God. Disanya, the source begins, Ish ish ki yikalel elokov v'nosa chetoi. Ma Talmud Lomar. What do I need this pasuk for? V'halokvar ne'mar v'noikev shem Hashem mos yumos. That one who curses Hashem's name will be killed. So what do I use, what do I derive from the opening pasuk of Ish Ish? Answer, Lefi shenemar v'noikev shem mos yumos. If I would have had only the pasuk that began with v'noikev, yochol lo yechayov elo al shem hamiyuchod bilvad. I might have thought that guilt is achieved only if one curses using the special name of Hashem. Minayin l'rabois kol hakinuyim. From where do I know that this prohibition of Birkas Hashem includes doing so with secondary names as well? Talmud loymar, ish ki yekalel elokov mikol mokoyim. Divrei Rabbi Meir. The pasuk is saying that when he curses Hashem under all circumstances, even if it's not the special four-letter holy name of Hashem, but using secondary kinuyim as well. And this is all according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is featured thereby by saying, we link together the special name and secondary names. All are included in this major offense. The Chachomim Omrim, they disagree and say, Al Shem HaMiyuchad B'Misa, on the special name of Hashem, and only on that is there death penalty. However, Ve'al HaKinuyim, on the secondary names, Ba'azhora. That is considered a violation of a lav, of a negative commandment, but not a capital offense. Well, this approach is at odds with, or different from, Rebbe Meisha. Upliga de Rebbe Meisha. The Omar Rebbe Meisha. Ben Noyach. Shebirech es Hashem bekinuyim. L'Rabbonon Chayav. We've dashed, underlined this, L'Rabbonon Chayav, to emphasize that this is the point of difference. According to Rebbe Meisha, use cursing with secondary names of Hashem, according to the Rabbonon as well, is chayav. According to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, it was held that only according to Rabbi Meir would the B'nai Noach be chayav on kinuyim. We can see this in the Rashi, Upligo de Rabbi Meir, Ha derma Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha l'rabois es hakinuyim v'aliba de Rabbi Meir, demashma ha l'rabonon poter b'noach ala kinuyim. According to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, it sounded like only Rabbi Meir would hold there's guilt on cursing with secondary names, but the Rabbanan would hold there is an exemption from a death penalty. Pliga de Rabbi Meisha. This is different from his approach. The Yul Savar, Afagav Yami Rabbanan al Hakinuyim Bazhara, even though they, the Rabbanan, said through secondary names there is a mere negative command, be Yisrael Mihu. The Rabbanan who said Al HaKinuyim Ba'azhara, that was a reference to Yisrael, Jews alone. However, when dealing with idol worshippers, there's a chiyuv misa, and that's learned mika ger uka ezrach, midichtiv ger ve'ezrach, from the fact that the pasuk says ger ve'ezrach. This is a pasuk that will be seen cited later in the Gemara, Vayikra Chavdalet Pasuk Tezayin. From the fact that that expression appears, it's midichtiv ger vezach yisera, an extra expression shma mino. It is there to show the chiyuve oive koychavim bekinoi, that only ger veezrach are not chayav, are not guilty upon using secondary names. When we say guilty, mean a capital offense, we can infer from that. But idol worshippers who are not ger veezrach would be guilty. The Gemara goes on and spells that point out. Now, my taima, what is the reason for Rabbi Meisha to hold that Ben Noach, according to the Rabbonon, are chayev on kinuyim as well? The Omakra, the pasuk says, koger ko ezrach. Before we go further, let us cite the pasuk as it appears in our margin. Venokev Shem Hashem Mois Yumos Rogoim Yirgamu Boi Kol Ha'eda Keger Ko Ezrach Binakvoi Shem Yumos. This pasuk says that the person who is guilty of blaspheming Hashem's name will be stoned, but the pasuk emphasizes at the end that's Binakvoi Shem Yumos, when he uses the special name of Hashem, and only then is there a death penalty. But for whom? So the pasuk says, "Koger ko ezrach," and we will now read on in the Gemara. Tiyamakro koger ko ezrach, ger ve'ezrach hu deboino benokvo shem. In boino means we require nokvo shem, the use of the special name of Hashem for achieving death penalty. That's only if you're dealing with the ger and ezrach, a reference to the different types of Jews. Avol oived kechavim, however, if dealing with an idol worshipper, afilu bekinui, even if it's a secondary name, which is something additional to benokvo shem, the special name, even secondary names, an oved kechavim, will be chayav. The Gemara now asks, v'Rabbi Meir, hai keger ko ezroch mai ovid lei? According to Rabbi Meir, that ger and ezrach are also chayav on secondary names, not only oived kechavim, not only idol worshippers. The question is, what role is ger v'ezrach going to fulfill? In other words, what is ger v'ezrach going to be memayit? What is it coming to exclude when we say only ger v'ezrach and not b'nei Noach? When according to Rabbi Meir, everyone is in the same boat when it comes to cursing with kinuyim. So the Gemara answers, even according to Rabbi Meir, though, there is a difference. Ger ve'ezrach will be memayit, will exclude oved kechavim in the following. Ger ve'ezrach beskila, aval oved kechavim besayif. The Jew will be guilty of a capital punishment of stoning, whereas the idol worshipper will be punished through the sword. Salka daita chamina, I would have thought, hoyo v'israbu israbu, that once we include the idol worshippers into the realm of kinuyim, we will include them also with regard to the method of execution. Komash malon, that's what Ger v'ezrach says, that even though we include idol worshippers with regard to kinuyim, cursing with secondary names of Hashem, nevertheless we do not include them with regard to the type of execution. For Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha, Aliba de Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha's version of the Rabbanan, that an idol worshipper is potter from kinuy, just like Yisrael is potter from kinuy. Hi, keger ko ezrach mai ovid lei. What is ger v'ezrach coming to exclude, according to this opinion? Answer, ger v'ezrach hu deboinon shem b'shem. When it comes to the actual cursing, only by ger v'ezrach do we apply the standard of shame b'shame, where the name is used to curse the name, so to speak. Aval oivei kechavim, there is a stringency applied when it comes to idol worshippers that lo bo inon shame b'shame. We don't require that and as being the only form of cursing, but even a simpler form of cursing will incur guilt. Another question, ish ish lomali. This question is posed both according to Rabbi Meisha and according to Rabbi Yitzchok. Their version of the Rabbonan, what does the double expression ish ish come to include? So the Gemara answers, Dibra Torah Keloshon B'nei Adam. The double expression doesn't have any legal significance as far as this opinion is concerned, but rather it's a method of speech the Torah uses, which is common to common speech of, which is characteristic of the common speech of man. At this point, the Gemara opens up a new sugya, a sugya that features the mitzvos that the general world population is chayav in. The Jewish people, upon receiving the Torah, received 613 mitzvos. Those who did not accept the Torah, the rest of the world population, we will refer to them as Bnei Noach. How many mitzvos do they have? So we will see different opinions, different numbers, and what is to be included in the respective lists. We open up with a source that continues several lines down on the days. Tana Rabbanan, Sheva mitzvos nitztavu Bnei Noach. The Bnei Noach, the world population, was commanded to fulfill seven mitzvahs. And they're listed. Dinim, the setting up of a judicial system. Ubirkas Hashem, the issue that we just discussed before, cursing Hashem. Avodah Zarah, idol worship. Gilui Arayos, forbidden relations in intimacy. Ushvichus Domim, murder. Vegezel, theft. Ve'ever min hachai, and the removal of limbs from an animal while it is alive. Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel Omer, as we turn to Omid Beis, he says, Af, another mitzvah that they have, is Af al Hadam min hachai, the prohibition of drawing blood from an animal while it is alive. Rabbi Chidka Omer, Af al Hasirus, there is a commandment not to sterilize animals. Rabbi Shimon Omer Af al HaKishuf. There is an additional mitzvah or warning, a prohibition of practicing black magic. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol HaOmur B'Parshas Kishuf. All the different forms of black magic that are featured in the section of the Torah dedicated to that issue, Ben Noyach Muzar Olav. And that means that the general population of humanity is warned not to practice. At this point, the source quotes the pasuk just referred to in full, and we've used a long marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to show the length of the pasuk. The encircled word pasuk with the dashed vertical line. Lo yimotzei v'cha mavir benoi ubitoi bo'esh. There shall not be found amongst us people who pass their children between the fires. This was a practice that was known at the time of the Torah. Koisem ksomim ma'oinein umenachesh umechashef v'chover chover v'shoel oiv v'yedoini v'doresh el hamesim. This pasuk has just recorded a list of different types of practices that are in the realm of the kishuf that one is warned not to practice. Ubiglal hatoyevoi so eile Hashem elokecha boirish oisam miponecha. As far as the Torah is concerned, it says that because of the practices of the idol worshipping nations that were in the land of Canaan, the land of Israel to be, because they practiced these things, they were removed, and the Jewish people entered through the word of Hashem to take over the land of Israel. Now, as a result of this, we can see that they were prohibited from doing it. Otherwise, the pasuk wouldn't say that they were removed from the land because of it. He's here. And the Torah would not impose a penalty, a punishment, unless there had been a warning. So we can see from here that the Gentiles, the idol worshippers, the non-Jews, are expected to conform to this particular realm of prohibition. Rabbi Elozer Omer, Af al Kilayim. Rabbi Elozer adds another mitzvah that the B'nai Noach are mitzvah and are commanded in, and that has to do with mixing breeds. Skipping the bracketed section for a moment, V'ein asurin ela bahar boas behema uvahar kova so'ilon. When we speak about mixing breeds, that would tend to include a rather broad realm of different mixings. So the source, Rabbi Elozer, points out that the restriction here is only when it comes to cross-breeding animals of different varieties and grafting different varieties of trees one onto the other. However, if it is a function of mixing seeds that are put directly into the ground, that would not be a violation for the B'nai Noach of Kilayim, nor wearing wool and linen garments, the garments made of wool combined with linen, which is known as shatnez, which, though for the Jewish people is prohibited, it would not be a prohibition for the B'nai Noach. Let's read this again with the bracketed section. Rabbi Elozer Omer, Af al Kilayim, he says that the B'nai Noach are warned not to practice breed mixing. Mutarin B'nai Noach Lilboish Kilayim, it is, however, permitted for the B'nai Noach to wear mixed material garments, such as wool and linen, Vilizroa Kilayim, and to put seeds in the ground of different varieties. These two things are prohibited for the Jews, but allowed for the B'nai Noach. So what is prohibited? V'ein asurin elo bahar boas behema ubahar kova so'ilon. They are, however, prohibited from mixed breeding animals and from grafting trees, as we mentioned before. Mino hani mili. What is the source for these prohibitions, or these mitzvos b'nei noach that we featured at the beginning of this source? The opening opinion had a list of seven prohibitions or mitzvos, and at this point the Gemara will go through each one of them. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tiyomar Kro. The Pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Tezayin says, Vayitzav Hashem Elohim al ho'adam lemor, and God commanded Adam, saying, Mikol eitz hagan achol tochel. From all of the trees of the garden, you are allowed to eat. That would be a literal translation of the pasuk. But what do the Chazal see in this pasuk? As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to be using a double underline, one of our series markings, and we explain in the outside margin the nosei mivne. The double underline is featured. Havlotas milim mehaposuk breishis beis pasuk tezayin vayitzav Hashem. We will be emphasizing the words that are found in that particular pasuk, kedei lidroish mehem mitzvos b'nei noach, in order to expound upon them, in order to discover how do you see the mitzvos, the commandments that apply to the b'nei noach in this pasuk. And we begin. Hashem, the use of the word Hashem is a reference to zu birkas Hashem. Let us go back, correct our reading here. We completed reading the pasuk. Vayitzav, the first word of the pasuk, which you see the double underline, Vayitzav Elu Hadinim. This is a reference to the judicial system that Noahide people must set up. V'chein hu omer, ki yedativ leman asher yitzaveh es bonov. And we've written in the continuation of that pasuk, which says, Vishamru derech Hashem, Vasois tzedaka u'mishpat. In our markings, we've dashed underlined yitzaveh. This is the same type of word as vayitzav, the same root. And in the pasuk that discusses Avram Avinu, uses the word yitzaveh, that he will command his children to vasois tzedaka u'mishpat, to practice the ways of righteousness and judgment. Mishpat, hence being a reference to a judicial system. Hashem, this is a quote also from the Pasuk in Bereishis Beis, Pasuk Des Zayin. Zu Birkas Hashem, this is a reference to the problem of cursing. V'chein hu omer v'noikev shem Hashem mois yumos. This is a Pasuk that we saw on Omer Aleph, a reference to cursing, and in the Pasuk it also has Hashem's name mentioned. Elohim, Zu avoides kichovim, v'chein hu omer, lo ye l'cho Elohim achirim. The use of this word is a reference to idol worship, as the pasuk just quoted by the Gemara that's found in the Ten Commandments. Lo ye l'cho Elohim achirim. Al ha'adam. This is also a quote from Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Tes Zayin. Zu shvichus domim. This is a reference to murder. V'chenu omer shofech dam ha'adam v'chulei. That pasuk referring to murder. Leimor zu gilui arayos. This is a reference to immorality. V'chenu omer, the pasuk featured in Yirmiyo, Perek Gimel pasuk Aleph says, Leimor hein yishalach ish es ishtoi. A person who sends his wife from him. He sends her away, he divorces her. It's pointed out by the Tosfos that it's sufficient for us to see the word lemor in the context of marriage, hence a reference to the issues concerning man and woman, which leads us to the realm of immorality. Mikol eitz hagan, that Adam was allowed to eat from eitz hagan, for lo gezel, but not from that which is theft, that which is stolen. Rashi points out at the upper part of the page, mikol eitz hagan velo gezel, vide itzrich lemishrile, from the fact that God had to allow him to eat from these things, ulahafkilo atze hagan, and to declare unowned the trees of the garden, shma mino she'eno mufkalo nesalo, that which was not declared unowned would not have been allowed to him. Continuing in our Gemara, Achol Tocheil, Velo Ever Min Hachai. Rashi points out, Achol Tocheil, on the third line from the top, he says, Ha'oimed Lachilo, you shall eat from that which is there to be eaten. Velo tochal eiver menachai, but do not eat from a limb ripped off of a live animal. De behema b'chayah, a live animal eino oimedes lachila, it's not there to be eaten. Elo legado vlados, a living animal is there for raising further animals. Only an animal that is killed is allowed to be eaten from, as opposed to eating from an animal that is still alive. At this point in the Gemara, we have a brackets. The length of the brackets is indicated, the length of the bracketed section is indicated by the dash dotted line, vertical line you find to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. After this bracketed section, the Gemara will be raising a question on one of the mitzvos, one of the items in the list that we saw above. The Gemara, after the brackets, you will notice if you skip to that point, will ask a question, also a long question, and it'll ask, Dinim b'nei Noach yifkud, is it so that the b'nei Noach were commanded to set up a judicial system? The basis of this question will be a Tanaic source that the Gemara will cite later, where it seems that the issue of judicial system is something that was added to the original seven mitzvahs, added to the Jewish people at a point before the receipt of the Torah, in a place called Mora. before, of course, we get to that in the Gemara, we have to deal with the bracketed section. Let us take note of the explanatory note where you find the asterisk in the margin, Tochen Hasagrayim, the issue or subject contained in the brackets, Isuk Beha Dechiosa Rav Yitzchak. The Gemara will be preoccupied with a comment made by Rav Yitzchak that we'll see shortly. Acharei Hasagrayim, after the bracketed section, Agamora Mivareres in Bnei Noach Bichlal Nitztavu Al Hadinim. Will clarify whether Bnei Noach were at all commanded to set up a judicial system. Now that we are familiar with the structure, we'll go through the Gemara straight. Ki asa Rabbi Yitzchak Toni Ipcha. Rabbi Yitzchak came and presented a Tanaic source that has two elements switched around. Up till now, we saw the expression vayitzav as a reference to setting up a judicial system, and the expression Elohim as a reference to idol worship. In this source, we'll see those two switched around. Vayitzav, zu avodas kechavim. Elohim, zu dinim. Bishlamo Elohim Zudinim. I can understand the use of the word Elohim as a reference to setting up a judicial system. Dichtiv, there is a pasuk that says, in reference to the need to appear in court, it says Vinikrav Bal Habayis El Ho Elohim, that the litigant will come forth to the judge. So you see the word Elohim as a reference to a judge, hence a judicial system. Elo vayetzav zu avodah zarah. My mashma. How can you interpret the word vayetzav to be a reference to idol worship? To answer this, we will see two opinions. Rav Chisto for Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi. Chad Omar. We've underlined Chad Omar and indicate that as one. And the next line, an underlined Chad Omar number two. Two opinions as to how to understand the word Vayitzav as a reference to idol worship. Later, the Gemara will deal with what is the difference between these two citations. But for our purposes, we will read on now. Chad Omar, Soru, this pasuk is from the Egel Hazav, from the Golden Calf experience. Soru Mahir Menaderech Asher Tzivisim Osu Lohem. And we added in Egel Masecha. We've dashed underlined key expressions, primarily the word Sivisim, that car same root as the word Vayitzav, and we know that it's a reference to the Egel Hazav, so that we see the word Vayitzav being associated with a form of idol worship. V'chad Omar, Oshuk Ephraim Rotzutz Mishpot, Ki Ho'il Holach Acharei Tzav. This pasuk, without getting into literal translations, has to do with God's anger as a result of the Jewish people following Tzav. And the context of the pasuk and the understanding of the pasuk indicates they follow the commands or the wishes of the prophets of idols. Hence the word Tzav in this pasuk is a reference to idol worship. Before we go on, we'll just glance at our topic heading, the Nosei. Shnei Deos Be'inyin Chiyuv Akum B'Avodah Zarah. Two opinions with regard to at what point is a Gentile considered guilty of the violation of Avodah Zarah, of idol worship. Number one, Mishas Asiya. One opinion will present the idea that he's guilty at the point that he manufactures the idol. And the second opinion says, Mishas Avoda, not from the point of manufacture, but from the point of actual worship. Continuing in the Gemara, my Binayu, what is the difference between the number one and number two opinions as presenting sources for Vayitzav being a reference to idol worship? Iko Binayu, the difference will be Akum Shosavoidazar Velo Ishtachevelo, an idol worshiper that made an idol but didn't actually worship it, didn't bow down to it. Laman di Omar Osu, according to opinion one that in which we saw the word Osu dot underlined, Mishas Asiyo Mechayev. From the point of manufacture, there will already be guilt. Leman diomar ki hoyul holach, according to the second opinion, ad de ozil basra upolach lo, until he follows it, as the word holach indicates he walked after it, he followed it, polach lo, and worshipped it. But the mere manufacture would not be reason for guilt. As we go on to the Gemara, we notice another geometric form, and in our structural note in the margin Mivne, we notice these house forms with colored in tips. Machloikis Rava v'Rav Papa, there will be a controversy between these two opinions. Im Yesh Manda Omar, if there is at all an opinion that holds Shegoy Chayov Mishas Asiyah, that a Gentile could possibly be guilty from the point of manufacture. Rava will question that and say, could there possibly be someone that holds that? And Rav Papa will respond to that. We open up with a long question, and this you can see by the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with its following vertical dashed line indicating the length of the question. Omar Rava, umi ika lamandi omar akum she aso avodazara veloy hishtacha velo chayav. Could there possibly be an opinion that says that a Gentile who merely made an avodazara and did not worship it, did not bow down to it, could he be chayav? Could he be held guilty? The Hotanya, we have the following source. And it says, Be'akum, when dealing with idol worshippers, the following rule shall apply. Aleph, Devorim Shebezdin Shel Yisrael Mimisim Alehen, violations concerning which a Jewish court will find a Jew guilty of a capital offense. Ben Noyach Muzar Alan, the Gentile is also considered bound. Ein Beis is Ein Beis Din Sheisrael Mimisin Alan, behaviors or practices for which a Jewish court will not apply a capital punishment. Ein Ben Noach Muzar Alan. We've dashed underlined this expression where we see an instance where a Gentile is not considered bound. Mutemai, from what is he being excluded? What is the case that he will enjoy exemption? Lav lemute akum sha'osa avoidazora velo hishtachavala? Are we in fact not coming to exclude the Gentile who merely made the idol without worshipping it? Namely, that if he does that, he would in effect be exempt. Omar Rav Papa lo. Rav Papa disagrees, and he says there is an exemption, but it's not for that. Limute gipuf venishuk. This source is coming to exclude a situation where the individual would hug and kiss an idol. The Gemara asks, gipuf venishuk demai. What type of hugging and kissing are you talking about? Ilema kedarka, if that is the form of worship of that particular idol. We'll call it the idol of love. How do you worship it? By hugging and kissing it. If that be the case, bar kaklahu, he's guilty of a capital offense. That's considered the regular form of worship of that particular idol. How can you say he's exempt? Elo, limute shelo kedarka. There's an exemption for hugging and kissing an idol whose normal form of worship does not include hugging and kissing. However, as far as Rav Papa is concerned, however, for the making of an idol, there is no exemption, even if it's made and not worshipped. At this point, as we mentioned in our introductory comment, we go back to that which was referred to much earlier. In order to assist in finding where things are, you will notice an asterisk to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Scan up and try to find a parallel written in asterisk in the space, and you will notice in the narrow lines of the Gemara there was a double underlined Vayitzav, and we said Elu Hadinim, an indication that the Bnei Noach were commanded to set up a judicial system. The Gemara asks a long question, and you can see the length of this question by the circled kuf that's to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text and the vertical line that follows. Dinim, Bnei Noach Yifkud. Are the Bnei Noach commanded to set up a judicial system? V'hatanya, we have a Tanaic source that will seem to indicate to the contrary. It says, Eser mitzvos nitztavu Yisrael b'mora. There were 10 commandments that the Jews received in Mora. Mora was one of the places in their travels from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. One of the stopping off points, if you will, was Mora, and in that place they received 10 mitzvahs. And what were they? Sheva shekiblu aleihem b'nei Noach. The 7 that were commanded to the general world population, and there was added to the Jewish people the following: Dinin, the Shabbos, v'kibud avim. These 3 more were added. Dinim, which is squiggle underlined to show the emphasis, because this is the main point of our discussion, and also the mitzvah of Shabbos and the mitzvah of respecting one's parents. We now see a bracketed section lasting a couple of lines. The length indicator you'll see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The reason for these brackets is that at this point the main question has been raised. This is indicated by the asterisk explanation you'll find in the margin. Sograyim l'shem dilug. These brackets are for the purpose of skipping, and that means initial skipping. Kedei lirois, to see the ad kan ikra hakusha, up till this point is the main question. Besocha sograyim muva mekuros leprotim shehuzkuru. Within the bracketed section, there will be sources for the items mentioned beforehand. That having been said, we know the question. How can you say that the B'nai Noach were mitzvah in Dinim when that was something added specifically to the Jewish people? In the brackets, Dinim, Dichtiv. How do I know that Dinim is something that was added? Because it says in Mora, the pasuk that features the event of being in Mora, it says, Shom, Som, Loi, Choyku, Mishpat. There, they were commanded with the need to have a judicial system. Shabbos v'kibud avim. How do I know that in Mora they received those 2 additional mitzvahs? Dichtiv. It says in the second set of 10 commandments, it says in these 2 mitzvahs, Shabbos and kibud avim, it says, Kasher tzivcho Hashem Elokecha, as you have already been commanded. The Omar Rav Yehuda, Kasher tzivcho b'mora. And Rav Yehuda points out that reference to a previous commandment is a reference to the fact that they were previously commanded in these 2 mitzvos in Mora. The question then is, how can you say that B'nai Noach were commanded for Dinim when we see that was something commanded later on to the Jewish people in Mora? At this point, we have another geometric form, a series of triangles. They are explained in the margin under our heading Nosei Mivneh. Let us go through the heading. HaGemora makshe mimokor de B'nai Noach lo nitztavu adinim. We already saw this. The Gemara asks from the source that the B'nai Noach were not commanded regarding the judicial system. The triangles represent nisyonis l'taretz ulahazbir es hamokor, attempts to rectify the source and explain the source. Rov hatshuvos menasis lahazbir be'ezid prat hakosher l'dinim B'nai Noach lo nitztavu. Most of these answers or responses will be attempts to show an aspect of judicial procedure that the B'nai Noach were not commanded in, and that those specific aspects were that which was added to the Jewish people, preserving, however, the idea that the basic judicial system, or need for judicial system, was commanded to the B'nai Noach. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Bar Avua. Loi nitzricha elo li'eda v'edim v'hasra. That which it says, hosifu, we had that dashed, underlined, 2 lines up, that which it said, hosifu, that the Jews received this additional commandment, is necessary with regard to the need for a specific number of judges, the Edah, Edim, and witnesses, and the idea of needing a warning for the defendant before he can be prosecuted. In other words, those elements were added specifically to the Jewish people, and B'nai Noach were not commanded in that. However, a general judicial system was part of the original Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. The Gemara asks, if that is true, that this is the explanation of the source, then Ihochi Mai V'hoisifu Alehem Dinim. What is meant by they dinim were added? Rashi points out these details are exactly that. They are mere details. These are rather details of the judges, that the judges cannot operate unless these elements are present. So it would have been more accurate to say that these are mitzvos of the dayonim, of the judges. What is meant by the source when it says that dinim were added? Elo amar Rava. Rava attempts to answer, to explain the source. Lo nitzrcha elo ledine knosos. The areas of law known as knas, as opposed to mamon, these are types of payments that are levied to fulfill the function of a fine, as opposed to an actual monetary obligation. Those were added to the Jewish people, and B'nai Noach were not mitzuvah in that. The Gemara asks, Akati, if that is the actual explanation of the source, then it should have said Vahosifu ba dinin miboyale, that there was added an aspect of law, ba dinin, within the judicial process, this was added. But it doesn't say that. It says the general expression that Vahosifu aleim dinin, sounding like the entire judicial process was added to the Jewish people alone. Elo Amar Rav Acho Bar Yankiv, Lo Nitzrcha Elo. The expression in the source that said that something was added in the realm of judicial procedure, that is Elo Lahoshiv Beizdin B'chol Plach U'Plach U'B'chol Yir V'Yir. The need to set up courts in every state and every town. That aspect is what was added to the Jewish people, and not added to the Gentiles. The Gemara asks, "V'hol b'nei Noach lo ifkud? Is that so that the b'nei Noach are not commanded in this? We will see to the contrary that the b'nei Noach have the same standard as applies to the b'nei Yisrael. V'hol tanya, k'shem shenitzav Yisrael lahoshiv batei dinim b'chol plachu plachu b'chol ir v'ir. Just like the Jewish people were commanded to set up courts in every state and every city." And we've now dashed underline the main point. Kach nitzavu b'nei Noach. Likewise, the b'nei Noach were commanded b'hoshiv batei dinim b'chol plachu plachu b'chol ir v'ir. They too are to set up their courts in every area, just like the Jews. So, what is it that is unique to the Jews in the realm of dinim? Elo Omar Rava. Rava takes a totally new approach. Hai Tana. Tano debe menashehu. This Tano that we saw a few lines up where we had dashed underline behosifolem and swulon word dinim, that particular source is a specific opinion, the opinion of the Bei Menashe, the Yeshiva of Menashe, that actually says that the B'nai Noach were not mitzuvah in dinim. Now, if you say that, if you say they were not mitzvah dinim, that means that we're going to be subtracting one of the mitzvahs from the list of the original seven mitzvahs. So the Gemara explains that Tana is debei menashehu demapik. This is an abbreviation, dalet chof, for dinim and birkas Hashem. He takes out of the list of original mitzvahs that the B'nai Noach received, he takes out judicial procedure and cursing, the ayo and puts instead Samach Chof, Sirus, and Kilayim, that they were commanded as part of their original seven, the prohibition of sterilizing animals and the prohibition of mixed breeding. As a result of that, we now have two major opinions concerning the issue of judicial system. Were the B'nai Noach commanded in that or not? So the original approach that we featured in the upper part of the page where it said Vayitzav Elu Hadinim, that opinion holds that they were commanded in the seven, that the judicial process was commanded to the B'nai Noach, And the second opinion, the opinion of Tana b'nei Menashe, holds they were not. And now the Gemara presents the Bei Menashe's list. We've also indicated a topic heading, Benosei, Rishimas Mitzvos B'nei Noach, the list of B'nei Noach commandments, Lefi Tana de Bei Menashe, according to the Bei Menashe opinion. We now see the source. Sheva Mitzvos Nistavu B'nei Noach. And they are 1. Avodah Zorah, 2. Giloy Aroyos, 3. Shvichus Domim, 4. Gezel, 5. Eiver Min Achai. Those we've already seen, therefore no need to re-explain them. Notice 6 and 7 we've dashed underlined. This is the addition or the new mitzvahs that Bei Menashe suggests. Sirus, the prohibition of sterilizing, the kilayim, and mixed breeding. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, another opinion, is Odom Harishon lo nitztava elo al avodah zorah bilvad. Odom Harishon received only one mitzvah, and that is the prohibition of idol worship. Shenemar vayetzav Hashem Elokim al ha'odom. That God commanded himself to be over man, himself and nothing else. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser Omer, af al birkas Hashem. This opinion holds that not just idol worship, but also the prohibition of cursing. And v'yeshomrim, another opinion holds, af al hadinim, a third mitzvah, the need to have a judicial system. Keman azla hodim Rav Yehuda Marav. Like whom does Rav Yehuda Marav's comment follow? He presents a phrase, or a statement, that we've presented in quotation marks. Rashi points out that what we're about to read is something that God said to Adam. It's not a posuk per se, but it's some type of oral tradition that Rav reports that God said the following to Adam. Notice, of course, take note of the double underline expression, the double underline that appears now three times under the word Elohim. Let us emphasize the fact that there are three of these. This double underline with the squiggle underline in it is one of our series markings. Elohim ani, lo tekaluluni. I am God, don't curse me. Elohim ani, lo timruni. Do not exchange me for something else, for an idol. Elohim ani, I am your God. Yehe moroi aleichem. My fear or awe should be upon you. Rashi explains this has to do with setting up a judicial system. So what was God saying to Adam? He was saying to be careful not to curse, not to practice idolatry, and to have a judicial system. Of the variety of opinions that we saw earlier, who would this conform to? Keman? Answer? Ki Yesh Omrim. Like the Yesh Omrim opinion that we saw two lines above, that included these three as being commandments that Adam received. The Gemara opens up now with a question on the Tana de Bei Menashe. From where does he know his list? Tana de Bei Menashe, I Dorish Vayitzav. If he expounds on the pasuk that we featured above in the dashed box and the narrow lines, Afilu Hanoch Nami, then he ought to include Dinim and Birkas Hashem as well, the judicial system and the Birkas Hashem, the cursing prohibition. I Loi Dorish Vayitzav. If he doesn't expound on that pasuk, then Hani Minole, the mitzvahs that he does list, where does he know them from? The Gemara answers, Li'olam lo dorish vayitzav. Basically, he does not expound upon that pasuk, and rather, Hani, the list that he has, the list of seven that he has, kol chada v'chada ba'api nafshei ksiva. Each one is written in its own location. In other words, he has a separate source for each one of his mitzvahs, and in our markings, you notice a double underline with dots in it. These represent a series of the series of mitzvahs that he says they were commanded in, and we will present their sources in the next shiur, Emir Tzashem. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.